Good morning, everyone. My name is Nikki, and I'm the children's pastor here at Canton Assembly of God. I'm actually filling in for Pastor Craig this Sunday to give the message. He just wanted to have a little break. So I wanted to talk to us today and just share some thoughts on Christmas. You know, it is just about a week and a half away. And like everybody says, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And it is. And, you know, I had to ask myself, because this year, Christmas has just had such a more deeper meaning. I even feel more emotional this year. And I had to ask myself, Lord, and ask the Lord, why is this year different? Why does this Christmas seem so much more wonderful? Well, I just want to take a few moments. If we could just pause in these next few moments and just see why Christmas is really the most wonderful time of the year. I ran across a quote, and it said, the beauty of Christmas is not in the presents, like the gifts that we get, but in the presence. The presence of God. Okay, I was thinking, you know, we can text, we can even call people, talking to them on the phone, we can even FaceTime now, we can see their faces, we can hear their voices, but you know, there's really nothing like the actual physical presence of somebody. And when somebody passes away, you know, you feel the literal physical absence of their presence. I remember when my dad died, and he died in November, and I remember his favorite holiday was Christmas too, and it was such, there was such an emptiness. You know, you literally physically felt their absence, because there's just something about the very physical presence of somebody. Well, as we read in the Christmas story, and even the birth of Jesus was prophesied, you know, thousands, hundreds of years before he even came. And Isaiah said, he will be called Emmanuel. And that means God with us. God Almighty came near. I've been thinking about that, and I was talking to a friend, and I told him, I said, this just boggles my mind. That the God who created all things with the very word of his mouth, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who split the Red Sea for Israel to walk through, he came, he laid aside his glory, and he came to be clothed in human flesh, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And why is that so important? Why is that such a significant thing to us? If you remember in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, okay, they sinned, they disobeyed God, and sin entered the world. Our independence and our rebellion with God kicked in. And in Isaiah 52:9, it says, our sin separates us from God. Okay, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Okay, he just cannot be, because he's God. So what does that mean, that our sin separates us? It separates us from that intimate, close, personal, near relationship. Like, somebody can be in a crowded room across the way, but when they come near, they're present with you, okay? So God Emmanuel, that's huge. God, our sins separate us. But God clothed himself in human flesh, and he came near to us. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. The advent, that means the coming of Jesus, was the advent of our reconciliation with God. You see, Christmas isn't necessarily all about the presents, although I love to give them and it's nice to get them, but it really is about that one gift, the ultimate gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ. I can remember when I was a little kid, when before my mom and dad got divorced, and you know, we'd get so excited. I can remember laying in bed at night, I just couldn't sleep. Like, the anticipation was just like so much that I just knew the Christmas presents were gonna be under the tree, and the dolls that I asked for, or different things, you know, oh my gosh, were they gonna be there? And I can remember waking up in the morning and running out and looking under the tree, and oh my gosh, it was full, and I'd unwrap it and I'd take it in and I'd be like, Mom, Dad, look, look. And it was so exciting. Well, can you imagine on that night, even for Mary and Joseph, they knew this was the Son of God. I mean, I wonder if they could even wrap their minds around that. Now they're holding this baby, and it is the Son of God. What about the shepherds? You know, they're out there, as it says, tending their flocks, watching over them. All of a sudden, the sky bursts with light, and there's this angel, and he's saying, "Rejoice, rejoice, don't be afraid. A Savior has been born to you this day." And you can test this by going. There's going to be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Can you imagine the anticipation of these shepherds? Like, oh my gosh, for one, we just saw the skies open and an angel. And then when the angel got done, it said the sky was filled with angels and the heavenly hosts, and they were singing, "Glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." I can't imagine the scene. And so these shepherds go, just like me in that morning, and they reach the stable, and there he is, the Son of God, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I can't imagine the joy of such a gift, to be able to see the very Son of God. And you know what? He was a gift. And he brought a gift. He brought the gift of our reconciliation to God so that we could once again have a very near, intimate, personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. God desires that. And he bought that gift for us. See, it had to be purchased. It had to be paid for. And it was with the blood of his Son. We go out and we spend a lot of money on presents this time of year. And I don't know about you, but, you know, my mom used to tell me, you know, you get what you pay for. The value is in the price of the gift, you know. She's always told me, you know, some things it's worth paying more money for because you get better things. Well, think about it. We were purchased with the blood of the Son of God. That shows our value. That shows our worth. We were purchased with the blood of the Son. And, you know, it is a gift. It says in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It's not of anything that you have done. It's a gift of God. I mean, it's not something we can get, we can work for. It's a gift, and it's a gift that has to be received. Have you ever gone to a family gathering at Christmas, and people are handing you the gifts that they bought you, and you go, "No thanks, I don't want it." In order for that gift to become yours, you have to reach out and you have to take it and you have to open it, okay? And then it's yours. Well, the gift of salvation, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of God himself has to be received. See, he's already done everything. The gift of the forgiveness of your sins is there, but you have to receive them. You have to believe that it's yours, that he is yours, that he's done it for you, and receive it. Okay? And then imagine you're at the same family gathering, and you decide, okay, I want this gift. Okay, it's okay, they bought it for me. It's mine. And you open it, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. I can't believe it." Like me, as a little kid, and I run under the tree, and I can remember one time I got this Barbie hotel thing, and I actually turned it into a Hot Wheels hotel. But I was so excited, it was so big, and I'm thinking of all the things I can do with this. Well, can you imagine me as a little kid going to my dad and saying, "Gosh, I'm really thankful. How much do I owe you for that? What do I have to do, you know, to earn this, to be able to keep it?" Wouldn't that be ridiculous? And it's the same way. We try and we think and we get this gift of Christmas, the gift of our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins and new life in him. And we think that it is by works of righteousness that we've done. Like somehow we have to earn it. I can remember about 10 years ago, God showed me, and he was so right, that I knew salvation was a free gift, but I thought somehow it got twisted up in my head that I had to work to keep it. Well, that's a lie. I could never do enough. I thought if I read my Bible enough, see, it's good to read our Bible, but we have to check our motives. I thought that's what kept me, but it's the God of the one who I'm reading about that keeps me. I thought it was if I did all these things right, and you know what? I failed miserably. None of them, as the scriptures say, could clear my conscience. It's only the gift of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You can't work for it. You can never do enough. And that's what's so crazy. That's what's so scandalous about this gift of God, that God Almighty, the Holy, Perfect One, the Divine One, who is all powerful. I love what the scriptures say. Who are we, Father? Who are we, God, that you even think about us? But you know what? We're His creation, and He loves us. He loves us so much that He did send His Son. And it's beautiful. I just marvel at that, that God, who I offended, who I did wrong, stepped in and took my place. This last Sunday, we sang a Christmas hymn, I think it was, What Child Is This? And it talked about the nails and the spear. And I tell you, it got to me. I thought, Jesus, you took my place. It should have been me. It really should have been. I'm the one who deserved it, not you. But that's the crazy love of God. He loves us so much. And it's a beautiful gift. And that's what I want to remember this Christmas. You know, there's a couple Christmas hymns that I absolutely love. One is Away in a Manger. And there's a verse in that that says, Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. But you know what? He's already answered that prayer. Be near me, Lord Jesus. He's like, I am. Because here's the thing. When Jesus came, before he died, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And these are simple truths, but sometimes we just need reminding. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. How could he do that? He says, it's better that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens when we believe and we receive that gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of us. That is the very near, precious presence of God. People can't always be with me. Loved ones die. They get sick. Sometimes it's just things in life. They move away. But my God, who is love, lives inside of me. And that is beautiful. He is near me. Be near me, Lord Jesus. And love me. But He does love me. He is with me. And He is with you. And He loves you. And that is the hope of Christmas. It's beautiful. There's another hymn. It's O Holy Night. There's a verse that says, Long lay the world in sin and error pining. And pining just means suffering with longing because of regret. Doesn't our sin leave us suffering? Have you ever been so bound up in sin or addiction? I know I have. I've been very open with my testimony. I was a lesbian for 20-some years. I was addicted to pornography. And I was pining. I was suffering in all of this, knowing, not knowing how to get free, trying everything under the moon. See, I was trying to work. I was trying to do it in and of myself. And maybe that's why this Christmas is so precious. I've come to realize it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the generosity of my Father. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pay for it. I have to receive it. And He does it all in me. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then it goes on to say, Long way lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared, until Jesus, born in that manger, appeared. And the soul felt its worth. Remember how I talked about how, you know, how much you pay for something determines its value? Oh my gosh. When He came, He was saying, You are worth the death of my Son. You are worth me laying aside my glory to come in the audacity of God Almighty being clothed and limited in human flesh. And not only that, think about it. This has struck me. He was born in the lowest town, Bethlehem. He was born among poor parents. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. Later on in his life, it says he didn't even have nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He understands my lowliness. He's humble and He's approachable. Think about it, if he'd have been born in a palace, the world would have thought more of him, but he would have been unapproachable. Our God is not unapproachable. He comes for the lowest of low and the highest of high. He comes for all. He is for all. He's for the prostitute. He's for the homosexual. He's for the pimp. He's for those addicted to pornography. He's for the alcoholic. He's for the businessman who's working his fingers to the bone because he thinks that's where his value is. Do you know a lot of very wealthy people end up committing suicide because it's empty. Our hearts long for God. They long for God. And that is our hope. That is our hope, that thrill of hope. The thrill of hope, it says, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And then the last verse, it says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Isn't sin wearying? Isn't trying to earn your salvation tiring because you can't do it? It's the thrill of hope. You know, I am thrilled this year. I have this thrill of hope surging through my veins this year because I've discovered the greatest gift of all is my Jesus. And this Christmas, I was talking to another friend of mine, and she's saying how she heard a sermon that says, you know, Christmas is a little different this year or something like that, and it's true. The first Christmas was a little different. He didn't come like we thought he would. The world thought he would come in majesty and pomp and circumstance and all that kind of good stuff, but he didn't. He came very humbly, very lowly, so that the whole world would know they can come to him. He's approachable. He's near. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled at the love of God. I'm thrilled that I get to receive every day the gift of his presence. The world can give me 1,000 presents. It can give me the grandest things. But the thing that satisfies my soul, the thing that brings peace, is a relationship with God Almighty. He is the greatest gift, and he is the gift for all. I pray today that you know Jesus. That today, if you have never received this beautiful gift of God himself, who is offering you salvation, and all that means is that you are forgiven, that you will today say, Jesus, I believe and I receive your gift. Come, live inside of me. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. That's why he came, to be very near. God came near. Emmanuel, God with us, the greatest gift of all. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas, as different as it is. But God hasn't changed. Our circumstances change, but our Father never does. He's still near us. He's still with us. And that is one thing we can rejoice. We can have the thrill of hope this year, no matter what. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.